Welcome to the fourth of the Queer History Media Reviews. Up until this point, we've focused on fictional accounts of real-life people or fictional queerness in the media generally. In this episode, however, we'll be taking a look at the documentary How to Survive a Plague, directed by David France. How to Survive a Plague tells the story of ACT UP and TAG, two groups of activists who fought for the rights and protection of the queer community during the AIDS crisis. This documentary is a lot to take in. There's an air of stress, fear, and the constant lingering reminder of death throughout the whole thing. The documentary isn't rated, but it covers a lot of sensitive material over the course of 109 minutes. There are frank discussions of the physical symptoms of AIDS and HIV, as well as suicide idealization and the acceptance of eventual death. However, How to Survive a Plague is 100% worth a watch, if not for the history it reminds us of, then for the foundation it lays for the queer activists of the future. To provide a little context for the topic of this film, however, we'll first be briefly looking at the diseases at its core, AIDS and HIV. HIV stands for Human Immunodeficiency Virus. It is a virus that attacks the immune system of its victim, destroying T cells in the body and making it harder for the body to fight off other diseases. HIV cannot be transferred from person to person via sweat, urine, or saliva, according to the activist group AVERT. It can be transferred, however, by semen, blood, vaginal or anal fluids, and breast milk. AIDS stands for Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome. It is a syndrome caused by the HIV virus after the HIV virus has inhabited a host body for many years. AVERT refers to it as the, quote, last stage of HIV infection where the body can no longer defend itself and may develop various diseases, infections, and if left untreated, death. The best way to avoid contracting HIV and subsequently AIDS is to use a condom whenever participating in sexual activities with a partner. This is the case whether the person is having sex with someone of the same gender or a differing gender. During the 80s, however, such forms of sexual protection were condemned by the Christian Church and were generally underused. Contraception was also looked down upon, leading to the stigmatization of those individuals who wanted to practice safer sexual habits. This, tied in with the pre-existing stigmas against those in the queer community during the 80s, led to many outside of the community to believe that the onset of AIDS was some sort of punishment from God that the queer community supposedly deserved. This national bias, supported by Ronald Reagan, the Catholic Church, and many officials at the FDA, led to what the United Nations eventually reported as the worst health epidemic in history. The first case of AIDS, again the last stage of HIV infection, was documented in San Francisco in 1981, according to AVERT. How to Survive a Plague doesn't begin with this first documentation, however. Rather, it starts with an organized protest in New York City in the year 1987. Without following one person in particular, the documentary explores the public, nonviolent protests that were first undertaken by the organization ACT UP, and then later by ACT UP and TAG. The documentary could be arguably divided into three eras. Viewers begin in the era of anger. When the queer community was abandoned by the government, they rallied around one another. Kiss-ins were held in hospitals in order to get the attention of doctors. Underground pharmacies opened up, having imported potential AIDS-combating drugs from overseas. It was in this era that the drug AZT was introduced to the AIDS-suffering community. The drug was only available, however, for the steep price of $10,000 a year. This profiting off of people's lives was not the only disrespect that the medical community showed to the suffering queer community, however. The documentary reports that individuals who died of AIDS in the hospital were removed in black trash bags. The disrespect shown was staggering. Again, many figures in power believed that the AIDS crisis was similar to one of the biblical plagues of Egypt, or rather that the queer community deserved to suffer for their so-called sins. It was during this era of anger, however, that the ACT UP activists were arguably at their strongest. The anger behind which they rallied held them together and drove them forward with creative thinking and powerful messages. After this came the production era. Here, prominent ACT UP members, including David Barr, Isis Long, and Larry Kramer, amongst others, began to develop and enact a crisis action plan. Iris Long headed up what ACT UP referred to as their science club, a group of individuals focused on chemistry and medicine that was trying to find the best treatment plan for AIDS when the government refused to. Peter Staley cemented himself as a public speaker, working with legislators, doctors, newscasters, and politicians in order to spread awareness about AIDS in the queer community. ACT UP formed an AIDS treatment agenda that was presented at a conference in Canada. When many of their members were detained at the border, those who made it through rallied under the cry, "The AIDS crisis knows no foreigners." It was the growing prominence of members like Staley and Barr, however, that led to fractures within ACT UP. From these fractures, TAG, or Treatment Action Group, formed. Both groups had the same end goals, the curing of AIDS and the gaining of respect and attention for the queer community, but TAG was more aggressive and elite than ACT UP. It was also arguably better organized, as this devolution era saw ACT UP begin to fall apart from the inside. This era was marked by what the documentary refers to as the worst years of the AIDS crisis, 1993, 94, and 95. During this time, a large memorial quilt was made and displayed in front of the Washington Monument with the names of those who had already died due to the AIDS virus. Ashes of those who had already died of AIDS were also spread on the White House lawn in protest of the government's continued negligence. One of the archived interviews cited in the documentary has an ACT UP activist asking, in light of the staggering number of deaths, how the queer community was supposed to remain not only active but hopeful about their future during this time. Then, however, came 1996. In 96, a triple drug combination pushed forward by TAG members working with the FDA was released that was verifiably proven to quickly diminish the effects AIDS had on the body. Members of both ACT UP and TAG emphasized in the final minutes of this documentary that it wasn't the government or medical officials who, quote, got those drugs out there, but rather that it was the queer community, both in bodies and in the power of public voice. Recognizing the transformation that the queer community underwent as a result of the AIDS crisis is particularly important when one tries to understand queer history as a whole. The AIDS crisis, again, was referred to as the worst epidemic in history by the United Nations. The statement remains unchallenged to this day. Also worth noting, however, is the resistance that ACT UP and TAG faced when trying to find solutions to the problems that the AIDS crisis facilitated. The deaths that occur due to governmental, judicial, legislative, and medical resistance are nearly too many to count. The documentary reports that over 12 million people died in the 20-year period that footage covers. Since then, it's reported that 22 million people have died as a result of the AIDS virus. What the documentary highlights, however, besides these numerous unnecessary deaths, is the activism that went into finding a cure. This activism is particularly relevant today, but we're first going to explore it as it was presented in the documentary and during its time. To begin, the members of ACT UP and, arguably, the queer community as a whole were incredibly diverse. This statement stands in terms of color, creed, gender, and sexual preference, but also in career. Iris Long was a straight woman with a PhD who worked as a chemist. Without her, the discovery of a treatment for AIDS would have been greatly delayed. News anchor Ann Norton was no longer working for a network by the time the documentary picks up, but she was able to provide insight into the media industry in order to help activists within ACT UP present themselves to the rest of the world. She specifically advises that activists create a 3 to 5 second soundbite that is clear and precise. That way, if an activist is pulled out of the crowd by someone in the media, they'll be able to express their message with clarity. Aforementioned Peter Staley revealed himself to be a phenomenal public speaker. He was the one who spoke at conferences, to legislators, to higher-ups in the FDA. All of these people were able to capitalize on skills they'd learned individually in order to move ACT UP and TAG forward. Their diversity of knowledge, as well as their diversity of being, helped them come at the issue of AIDS and societal scorn from a variety of angles, offering up a many-pronged attack against a willfully ignorant enemy. This conglomeration of skills lent itself to the organization of ACT UP and TAG. ACT UP is specifically noted to have divisions within itself that were focused on different aspects of AIDS treatment and outreach within the queer community. If a person was particularly interested in medicine, they were able to join ACT UP's so-called science club. Confident speakers were encouraged to talk to the press. Writers helped organize information about the symptoms of the disease and share them throughout the community. Actors were able to utilize humor and charisma in order to reach out to the watching public. People were needed to research, march, meet with legislative officials. No one was doing the same thing, but every aspect of activism had a group attending to it. This organization and leadership within the group arguably led to some of ACT UP's greatest successes. Their working confrontations were aided by the fact that everyone knew what to say, how to say it, and how they fit into the larger movement. Finally, we come to the record-keeping done by AIDS activists during this time. How to Survive a Plague is made up primarily of archived interviews recorded in the middle of the crisis itself. Documentation, from ACT UP's AIDS treatment plan to pamphlets from their various conferences and sit-ins, are visible and referenceable to this day. This was a movement that recorded each step it took, from its research to its protests. This kind of record-keeping is essential not only to the organization of the group, but also to its longevity. ACT UP still exists today, and its documentation of its efforts provides not only new members of the movement, but activists in other areas of life an example of how to preserve the efforts that are being undertaken. This is why the message of how to survive a plague is particularly applicable today. Not only is the history of the AIDS crisis preserved so it can be shared with a new generation, but methods of activism can be passed down and revitalized to fit movements in the modern era. Not to say that the issue of AIDS has been settled entirely. One can recall that, after a statewide shutdown of Planned Parenthoods in the state of Indiana, local communities experienced outbreaks of HIV and AIDS, the likes of which hadn't been seen since the early 90s. The methods utilized by ACT UP and TAG, however, can be used when addressing oppression faced by the queer community not only from a medical standpoint, but from the government in general. I speak specifically to America when I say some of this, because I am an American preparing to live under a regime run by people who hate everyone who isn't white, cisgender, male, or rich. Much like those who faced Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr., the American public will be facing down politicians who find not only our issues unimportant, but our existence generally dismissible. There are people in this government who want to see us silenced at the very least. Many more of them want to see us violenced into submission. We cannot allow this to happen. It's scary. Those of you listening in other countries who face similar governments, you know how scary this is. When watching How to Survive a Plague, I found myself asking how those activists combated the fear they must have felt while calling out church authorities, elected officials, and higher-ups in the medical community. The police presence and violence at non-violent protests in the documentary was enough to scare me a little. Thinking about the violence that the Black Lives Matter movement, for example, has seen in the past several years is enough to make me want to lock my doors and stay at home. We can't do that, though. No matter how much we want to, that's not something that specifically the American queer community can do if it wants to maintain the rights that it's earned over the past couple of years. How to Survive a Plague provides a history lesson for those who may not know much about the AIDS crisis, and the passing on of historical stories is important. Obviously, or Laura and I wouldn't be doing what we're doing. There's more to the documentary than that, however. ACT UP, TAG, and the activists of old provide us a foundation to build on as we look towards the near future. We must be organized as we move forward in this new world. We must embrace our diversity and utilize the many skills we possess in order to succeed against the powers that wish us harm. We must stay organized, and perhaps most importantly, we must record how we live. Someone in some future time will hear of us, or so Sappho said. We may as well provide that audience with the materials they will need to learn about us and to understand the obstacles that we faced. Furthermore, we must provide them the blueprints for how they can overcome the obstacles of their future. Thank you for listening, everyone. Documentaries are harder to discuss than fictional works, I've found, but I felt that it was important to look at How to Survive a Plague given the changes occurring in the world around us. I hope the coming days treat you as well as they can. Take it easy, and remember, history is queerer than you think.